Hi, it's Dave Evans from Online Dating Insider. I'm here with Catherine and Jeff Cook of My Yearbook. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Now, Jeff, we were just talking before we started recording that you and I had crossed paths at the Iamore event in New York City last summer, and that was a crazy evening, but my takeaway was your slides blew most people out of the water in terms of how large your site is and some of the user engagement metrics and what people are doing on the site. So I just found it very interesting that with the decline of some of the other social networks out there, and Facebook with its stratospheric growth, you too are in the game and growing leaps and bounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been seeing some tremendous growth, especially on the mobile side of the business where, you know, visits are up 300%. We're actually now 54% mobile. So we think, you know, we inhabit kind of an interesting part of the universe where, you know, Facebook is very concentrated on connecting you with friends and family and people you know, we've been very much about connecting with you with people you want to know. And so, you know, that is that there's a dating use case to that, but there's also, you know, I think the primary use case is new friendship. And so that's what we've been emphasizing. And we think it's kind of a very interesting category because as it relates to dating, the, you know, I would argue that, you know, friendship is as important a filter for deciding who to become romantic with as anything else, and probably more important than any algorithm. And so, you know, that's what we focus on. We focus on driving connections among our users, encouraging people to meet each other, and been having some success with it.
Well, you certainly have. I have spent the last probably 3 weeks or so on your site every single day, friending people, interacting, getting some bling on my profile, and participating in the flirting and the questions and so on and so forth. That's one thing that I found very interesting because, you know, the situation with MySpace dropping off, it really seems like you guys picked up and really ran with the ball where MySpace was floundering for a couple of years. And it's just interesting to see the similarities, at least, again, from my perspective, of the type of people on the site and some of the low-level user engagement that happens. But yet you have put an incredible amount of features and functionality into this site. I was sitting here listing some of them, getting ready for the call, thinking about the games, the rating people, meeting up, this social theater thing, which I'd like you to explain. And there's just so many different levels of interaction. I logged in this morning just to spend a couple of minutes on there to stay fresh on the site, and I realized 45 minutes later I'm rating other people's photos, and I expect to only be there for 5 minutes. So the engagement level seems high, but why don't you talk a little bit about what's on the site, what comprises it, and how it's different from networks like the MySpaces and the Facebooks out there, and talk a little bit about what you're seeing people doing on the site that may be different from these other sites.
Sure.
Well, the easiest way to think about My Yearbook is we're all about meeting new people. So if you think about Facebook as where you go to connect with friends you know, My Yearbook's where you go to connect with friends you want to know. So we try to make the environment very good for meeting new people, finding new people near you, and we find that's what really differentiates us, especially from the Facebooks and the MySpace, which are about friends you currently know, your existing real world friends. And
so, like an example of a feature that's very our most popular feature, as I'm sure you probably get a sense, is the feed. So you know, obviously Facebook has a very popular feed, and our feed is, you know, visually at least I think somewhat similar to that. But the difference is instead of connecting you with friends, it's connecting you with, you know, people of a certain age, gender, and geographic proximity to you. So it's really about discovering people around you and social discovery. And that's, you know, certainly the kind of the core piece of what we're all about. Another kind of interesting feature that we've launched last year is My Yearbook Live, a synchronous gaming platform where we enable users to play games and video chat, so you can see who you play. And, you know, the premise behind that is who you play is as important as what you play. And so you, from a technical mission perspective, you know, we view our goal as really engineering serendipity for users. And obviously serendipity is thrown around by basically everybody in the social discovery space. But that's really the goal. There's a reason it is. It's because that's basically the holy grail, to be able to put you on someone that you may have some natural affinity for, so that you may later then potentially meet up in person or at least enjoy, you know, the company of.
What do you think in terms of trends of what you've seen on the site? Are people more focused on people in their geographic proximity, or do more people tend to, like, sometimes I'll just want to search for people in Massachusetts. I'm based in Boston now. Other times I just want to talk to people within 5 miles. It almost seems like I'm playing with the location proximity slider depending on the context of what I want to do. So if I want to ask somebody for a date, I put it on 5 miles. If I just want to say, hello, Massachusetts, good morning, what's going on out there, and ask and answer some questions, I broaden it to that. But then I finally found myself just in, like, in the dating world, a lot of people say date in your area code. And then other people say, no, broaden your search to the breadth of the country, because you never know where you're going to find that special someone, or in your case, maybe just a new friend or somebody to play a game with. Do you see people doing more local geographic for some things and then broader for others? Or
yeah, definitely. And it's a combination. Our goal is to be the best place to meet people near you and half a world away. And our members will definitely be talking to someone across the country or right in their own zip code. And we try to cater to both by having in our live feed different ways that you can view the feed. So we have the near you filter, which will show people the closest to you that are recently posting. But we also have the feature or the filter for just seeing everyone. So you see, so people can come up in that feed that are across the country or even in a different country, as well as people near you.
That's a good point there. When you talk about different countries, it seems like the density is definitely in the United States, but what are you seeing in terms of usage outside of the country? Is it more Canadian and English speaking, or other countries where maybe people speak different languages?
Yes, it's primarily English speaking.
Yeah, so my yearbook is about 85% U.S., and one of our goals of course, broaden that. But we recently merged into a Latino-based social discovery network called Que Pasa, and they have a great deal of Spanish and Portuguese language traffic from Latin America. But my yearbook itself is mostly a U.S. and an entirely an English-speaking site,
which is very. Gotcha. Which I was just going to say, I've been in parallel spending a lot of time in Badoo as well. And it's amazing how many profiles, when I search for men and women in Boston, they're all Spanish-speaking profiles. So I'm always wondering what's going on with that. I like that idea of being able to say, I only want to talk to people in a certain country. One, to be inclusive for the United States, but sometimes when you're a different country, you don't want to talk to people from the U.S. You know, it's just show me the people in my general country or my general area.
Right. So like, to Catherine's point, you know, the people you know on Facebook versus people you want to know, you know, the key way of just visualizing that is, you know, if someone was sending you a friend request on Facebook that you didn't know, you know, that's a very awkward thing to do.
Yeah.
And so Facebook doesn't necessarily really compete even for the people you might want to know, especially as that's distinct and we would argue even orthogonal to the social graph of the people you know. But in any event, as it relates to dating, you know, the key piece between dating, of course, is also people you want to know, right? And often people you don't already know. Various apps and services are you know, blending the two. But the piece that I think differentiates us between certain dating apps is the nature of the relationship. So our users are, you know, fundamentally looking for more casual relationships, at least initially. 72% of our users would say they're looking for friendship, new friendship. Whereas on a dating site, it's very clear what you're looking for. You're looking for a date or romantic interest. And that ends up being actually a critical distinction between what I would argue are meeting networks like My Yearbook, Tag, Badoo, you know, and kind of traditional traditional dating sites like, you know, Match or eHarmony or you know, even OkCupid, is the context of what you're looking for. And it actually ends up affecting, you know, the entirety of the user experience, because, you know, if you're on a dating site and then you end up meeting someone, you will leave that dating site to the extent that relationship becomes successful, because you won't want to be have an active profile on dating sites while you're with another person. We've surveyed this question and found, you know, people who use dating sites tend to deactivate their profiles once they've met their match and found somebody they're in a relationship with. Whereas that's very uncommon on My Yearbook. So because it's not fundamentally about, you know, dating. It's about meeting people. And so we like to think of ourselves really as like the coffee house or the mall, right? A place to socialize and be yourself. And that's kind of the space we aim to inhabit anyway.
Those are great points. I was thinking before, it seems like there's a low level flirting happening on the site all the time, but it's not always it's not always ratcheted up. You know, I'm seeing now, like, I've talked to some married people and they like to have fun and chat and things like that, but they're very clear, I'm here to be friends. Whereas some other people, especially when you're going through the matching game or the rating game, you know that they're there for that dating reason. And the line between the two, I mean, I guess you could say it's blurred and it's cut and dried at the same time, but it's really a dual use site, which is something that we haven't seen in a while. And I have to agree, sometimes I'm terrified to ask somebody to be a friend on Facebook, because I'm like, if they're a tech guy in Silicon Valley, is he thinking that I just want something for him? Or if it's a woman who's pretty, am I just trying to hit on her? Whereas on your site, that sort of behavior is accepted and you actually drive people in that direction. And I think that's great, because it makes that sense of community and connection, you know, all sorts of things can boil up from it. It's not just dating. It's not just a LinkedIn. It's not just a casual site. It's everything in one. And I think you guys have done a great job in coming up with that blend of features and functionality. And basically, I'll have to say, you really let it go to the nth degree, right? Like, I watched this morning, there was a couple of huge flame wars on the wall, and they just went up, and then 5 minutes later, everybody went off and did their own thing and did something else. So the community seems to self-police at some level, and if you don't like what somebody's saying, you can just block them or ban them and get them out of the way and keep doing what you're doing without ruining too much of the essence of the site.
Yeah, being able to block users, of course, all very important. Our feed actually gets 2 million posts a day, and so it's a constant stream of communication, and it's kind of fast paced. We do employ about a quarter of our headcount dedicated to moderating. We actually review every photo after it's posted, but often within a couple hours. So we do a lot of proactive things to try to keep things clean. But at the end of the day, obviously, it's users interacting with each other and posting.
That's right. Let people have their lives. They're going to have them face to face or online. Talk a little bit about how large you are. I read a quote, and I've looked at some of the stats on your advertising pages. I heard 32 million subscribed members, and then I saw another quote of 350% growth in mobile users in the last 12 months. Can you talk a little bit about the size of the site, as well as maybe something along the lines of what percentage of those people are usually active on any given day?
Sure. Well, I mean, if you look at ComScore in the U.S., I think they have us at about 4.7 million, which is, a reasonable approximation. If you look at our page view stats, according to ComScore, we have a billion web page views, and then ComScore doesn't obviously track mobile, but we have more than a billion mobile screen views as well per month. And just to give some sense of that scale, four plus million uniques, I think is a sizable U.S. audience, but a billion page views is makes us often one of the top 30 sites in the U.S., at least according to ComScore. And that's, you know, larger than, you know, the number of page views, at least in the U.S., from Match.com, eHarmony, Zoosk, and OkCupid combined. And that's on the mobile side. So I mean, from an interaction and in a page view perspective, a time on site, you know, visits per visitor, you know, very engaging site. A lot of people like spending a lot of time on. But I would say that you know, where we are most focused, especially this year, is on mobile. That growth in mobile has been kind of the game changing event for us. Web is up nicely year over year, but mobile has been explosive. And a lot of that growth has been on the Android side. We have iPhone and iPad applications, which are doing quite well. But on the Android side, we're actually it's something like 2-to-1 more activations per day on Android. And I think it's just a function of our demographic being, you know, relatively young, maybe on some family plans, may not be all the, you know, New York and San Francisco iPhone buyers. And I am also in that category, I must admit. But, you know, it has been kind of explosive growth, especially on the Android side.
Interesting. I was talking with Marcus, friend at Plenty of Fish, yesterday. We were trading some emails back and forth about mobile usage. And what you say tracks with what he says, and I'm hearing in the rest of the industry, you know, publicly and privately, in terms of, you know, some people are going as far as saying, you know, web-based dating, per se, could basically go away in a number of years because they're just seeing the mobile numbers go up, 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 and up, and there's no sign of it stopping right now, which always reminds me of there was a dating industry event maybe 6 years ago, and mobile dating was like the number 10 thing on the list of what singles are looking for. So it's amazing to see that change in such a short period of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about how you monetize your users. I see there's obviously ads of all kinds all over the site. They don't seem very targeted, but they're there. And I wanted to ask a little bit about the targeting of those ads, but also the pay for exposure and pay for placement. And basically, if I'm a new user and I want to give you $25 for my first time out of the gate to test the site, where should I spend that money, or where should I spend those credits on your site to get the most out of it?
Yeah, so a lot of questions there. Let me go.
Yes, I tend to do that. I apologize.
No problem. But you know, the revenue mix is 80-20 advertising versus virtual currency based. And you know, one of our key goals this year, in addition to just growing mobile generally, is growing the mix of revenue coming from virtual currency. And so one of the key things that you can do, you know, with the virtual currency is, and as you notice, is pay for spotlighting of yourself in different areas of the site. So, you know, if I had $25, and I don't think you would need that much, but you know, with $10, you can get a good number of credits. And some of the things that you could do are, you know, I mentioned the live feed. You could put yourself at your post at the top of the feed for a period of time, and as a result, you know, your posts will get more likes and comments than you would otherwise get. You could go into our Match game / app, I'd say, and put yourself at the front of the queue for people and get basically, you know, a few hundred views before, you know, other users. And you end up getting just a lot of secret admirer activity, a lot of profile views from that. And then the other one is just a spotlight bar, just putting yourself in the bar on the homepage. You know, that lends itself to profile views and just increased activity as well. So we've kind of looked at virtual currency and said, you know, let's come at it from a perspective of enabling users who are on the site to meet new people, to allow them to meet more people faster if they were to spend virtual currency. Obviously, you know, many of our users don't pay us. As with, you know, any kind of traditional model here, advertising is where you monetize the great majority of users. And then users who pay you directly is something that we are essentially working on. One of the things that we're excited about, actually, about mobile platforms, and you may have noted that on mobile, we don't have the virtual currency, the credits, the spotlighting capability. That's something that's coming. And that's actually one of our you know, major initiatives for the year and the early part of the year is to roll out credits into our mobile platform, where obviously we experience 54% of our activity. And one of the reasons we like mobile as for credits is because, you know, mobile devices, especially iOS, has much less payment friction than a web device. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you're always two taps away from paying you, a user's always two taps away from paying you on a mobile app, on an iOS app, than on a website, let's say, where they may need to have their credit card, they may not even have a credit card. In any case, that's a kind of inelegant sort of payment model. Whereas, you know, you need to have a billing profile with iTunes just to download a free application. And so we know as long as you have this phone in your hand, you are at least potentially monetizable. And I can't obviously say yet because we haven't seen it ourselves, whether or not credits is going to be successful on mobile. We certainly think that it may well be.
Interesting. So I like hearing from so many different companies now this thrust moving forward, you know, last year and this year and moving into, you know, the foreseeable future of moving over to the mobile platform. And it seems like you're right on target in terms of you get the mobile platform established, or multiple platforms as it were, and then you start bringing the functionality over a piece at a time. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with those local meets when we're thinking of the more of the dating side of things. So I guess it could be for friends as well too, but in terms of, you know, I do this on all of the dating apps, which is, hi, my name's Dave, here's my profile, it's noon on Thursday, I'd love to go get a cup of coffee or just have a quick date, you know, a test date kind of a thing. And I found it really, really hard to get anybody to actually to respond to those. I don't know if it's because I'm hideously ugly or I don't come across as very palatable, but I think, you know, in the back of my mind, I tend to say, this is one of those things where there's still a lot of friction about that meetup, and over time, that, you know, society needs to evolve to get more comfortable with that. You know, we can't all be gay and on Grindr and have that, like, not even be an issue. You know, that's the core value of that site, is actually hooking up. So here we have some different forces at play, and people are starting to warm up. And maybe I should just stop there and say, how many people do you think actually do meet up through your mobile apps?
Well, we know that actually 54% of our members have met someone from My Yearbook in person. But we think that what makes this especially special is that they're not just meeting to go on a date. They're 57% are actually meeting to make a new friend. And so when it comes down to it, they're on My Yearbook to be friends. And the friendship is very important to them. So they actually will cultivate that relationship for maybe a little longer than they would on a dating site, because they're looking to message back and forth and actually develop something there. And actually 90% of our users prefer to start out as friends before jumping into a romantic relationship. And when they do actually, if they do go on a date, if they do meet in person, I think friendship is the best filter for finding that romance. And so having that background knowledge about the person, knowing if you find each other's jokes funny, or just how you get along, will go a long way. And actually, when that person says, hey, want to go meet and get some coffee? And the other person actually saying, yes.
Right. I think that's actually an important point. So I think that you mentioned society needs to evolve in order to, you know, kind of do this whole, you know, hey, you want to date me? I'm going to be at maybe the Starbucks or something, and we can meet up. And I think that there'll always be people who do that. But I do tend to think that's more niche and always going to be smaller than the number of people who kind of first want to establish some kind of personal rapport. And don't want it to be essentially in the context of a date as much as kind of a meeting. And so I think, you know, where you have these dating concepts out there, it's like, how about we date and do this and then you meet up? You know, I liken that to somewhat like a speed date event, right? Like, and I don't think many people find speed date events fun or entertaining. And so I think, you know, and obviously the model we pursue is to keep the meetups casual and let people kind of determine who they want to meet up with. Catherine mentioned the stat, 54% of our members have met someone from my yearbook. But the other piece of that is that 62% of those meetups are people who have communicated for a month or longer prior to meeting. So I'm not convinced that as time goes on, people are just going to become increasingly more interested in meeting perfect strangers at the Starbucks. Maybe they will, or maybe they will like the opportunity to take weeks, maybe even a month or two, to get to know various people via mobile app, via the web, and eventually, you know, meet up, you know, when the time is right in the context of their own kind of online and mobile relationship.
Which is exactly the opposite of on dating sites, which is I hear people say all the time, oh, we've been emailing back and forth for weeks now. I just want to meet this guy. You know, where on your site, it's really, no, that's okay. That's the way humans work, right? Sometimes it can be a little jarring to think after one email and a glance at a static profile with not much dynamic tastes and preferences and personalities embedded into it, that you do want to spend that time, that sort of personal capital, to go meet somebody. And with you, your site, it's really, yeah, I've noticed this in the last month. There's a couple of women and friendly guys as well, you know. It took me a little while to get to know them, but now watching their feed for a while, I've gotten a sense of who they are and what they find of interest. And sometimes you use that to filter out the people you don't want, and other times you use it to zero in on, okay, these guys, you know, they made the A grade for me. I'll definitely want to recommend that we get together.
Cool.
In terms of people listening in who may be single or looking for a new way to meet friends online, given the plethora of features and functionality on the site right now, what are you going to be adding this year? Is it going to be or subtracting? You know, are you in the midst of sort of you know, cutting the lower performing features out, or can people look forward to new things based on what they're learning on the site? And by that, I'm generally thinking about in my head about the, you know, friends matching friends and things like that.
Yeah, so happy to give some kind of directional thoughts on that. So yes, absolutely. You know, from a point of view of just removing some excess, I think that is certainly high on our to-do list, and we have a current project based on that, just to make it clearer, you know, what our obviously biggest applications are. You know, and I think that we could certainly improve in that area. In terms of kind of new stuff, the thing that interests us most is new platforms. So, you know, iPad, we launched in January. You know, you can expect us to launch on kind of any platform that has users and that has any kind of potential to monetize, whether now or in the future. So I think new platforms, you know, are important to us. You know, Kindle Fire is obviously something that, you know, I think is a rational place to be for an app like ours. You know, I think the other piece of it is, and the way we think about it is, once you have a kind of a lot of users on the site, and increasingly more every day, what types of things can you do that you couldn't do before? And a lot of that is around interests, right? So geographic matching is obviously of interest, and it's great, but it's also kind of it's essentially table stakes, right? It's the most superficial match. So what? You're near me, and you're of the right age and gender for me to be potentially interested. There's more to people than that. And so being able to kind of leverage more of the interest graph of someone, you know, that's certainly high up our to-do list as well. And then, you know, in terms of the other big thing is just internationalizing. You know, we view it as not a... Our goal is not to be 85% U.S. to end the year, and we have a lot planned as it relates to migrating many of the Latin American users onto our platform by the end of the year.
Big plans ahead. That's great to hear. Let me ask a quick question. What were you guys doing before this? You know, at some point you were doing something else, and you said, You know what? We see an untapped need in the marketplace. Let's go build this My Yearbook thing. Can you talk a little bit about the transition from before My Yearbook to where you are today?
Well, for me, I mean, I had just moved into a new high school. I was 15, and I was actually having quite a bit of trouble making new friends. So I was a typical high schooler. Spent a lot of time online, but when I moved away from my old school, I realized I needed some new friends in my new town. And so while flipping through a yearbook with my brother Dave, we thought, you know, we could create a better tool for meeting new people ourselves by putting it online. And then we talked to Jeff about it, and he invested the additional $250,000, and we got the company started.
Right. So in the very early days, we were, you know, even in the earliest days, it was really about making new friendships. But it was kind of focused on a high school audience, especially in the very earliest days. And then we more or less quickly found that, you know, it's very difficult to do social networking around friends without obviously enormous scale. And the way we looked at the product challenge was, how can we make the utility of joining the same whether you had, you know, 100 friends already there or whether you had zero? And the way you do that, of course, is you make it about making new friendships. And so from very earliest days, we had, you know, geographic based, browse, where you could discover people near you. You know, our match application allowed a very similar type of functionality, but kind of made a game element to it in 2007. And then I would say in 2009, kind of the messaging all came together, and you know, our audience was in any event getting a little bit older anyway, and it just became clear, you know what, this is really just about meeting new people. It's not really about anything but. And it was really with the launch of our feed in 2009, you know, kind of it all came together. And when we launched the feed, around, obviously, it's a geo feed. When we launched that, we had this kind of vision of putting it on mobile devices, because we thought, gee, this feed is pretty nice on the web, but, you know, this thing gets a lot more interesting when you can jump in wherever you are into a stream of updates near you, and, you know, start liking and commenting on things and just doing what people like to do on social networks. And so that was basically the key transition. We started in 2005, started around making friendships in high schools, kind of broadened over time in 2007, you know, very much about, you know, connecting you to people around you geographically. And I would say kind of all the messaging came together in 2009.
Excellent. Excellent. So, and where are you guys based again? In Pennsylvania?
Yep. New Hope, Pennsylvania.
Gotcha. Gotcha. We were talking about that before. I grew up in Doylestown. I think the only other famous person besides you now is the singer Pink from that area.
So. Oh, I didn't know that.
Huh. That's Wikipedia. It answers all questions.
Nice.
Yeah, well, so we have 100 people here, and then we also have 25 in New York. We have a sales team in New York.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I wanted to thank both of you for your time on this Friday. I know we talked for quite a bit, but I wanted to ask these questions and give you guys a little bit more exposure into the dating industry and let people know what you're doing and the opportunities that are out there to A, visit your site as a user, and B, maybe do some business with you as well, too, in a B2B marketplace, because I know there's a lot of companies that may want to get access to your members and offer them products and services and so on and so forth.
Great. Well, you know, we really very much appreciate it. you know, gcook@myyearbook.com to anybody listening who does want to reach out in that capacity.
Yep, and Catherine@myyearbook.com, too.
Great. Well, this is David Evans for Online Dating Insider, and we've been talking with Catherine and Jeff Cook from My Yearbook. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.